Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 225, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Thursday, February 24th, 2022. I don't need to tell y'all what that means. It's Toast Day,
yeah,
baby.
And Chili Day.
Yeah, also that.
So get your, combine your toast and chili, I guess.
I love a little Texas toast in my chili. Which is my vocal warm-up also.
What did you say, buckle warm-up?
Vocal warm-up.
Oh.
Texas toast in my chili.
Is Texas toast just garlic bread on white bread?
Yeah, it's just garlic bread croutons, basically.
Right? Because that's what I feel like whenever you see it, I'm like, oh, it looks like white bread, like thick-ass white bread with just, like, garlic butter.
Yeah. I think Texas toast is just, yeah, it's garlic bread, but, like, with a Texas white bread spin on it. And then I like the Texas toast croutons.
Where do you get that?
I don't know. No clue. Huh. Just one of, usually Ralph's or something, I guess. Okay. Kroger for the non-LA residents.
Oh, yeah, but yo, the best garlic bread in LA? Smokehouse in Burbank.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Have you been there?
Nope.
Oh, man, the Smokehouse is like, it's right across the street from Warner Brothers. And the interior is like not changed since like the 60s. And it's been in a few different shooting, like it uses shooting location. But when you go in there, the vibe is real interesting because they have bands that play. There's sometimes this weird Elvis impersonator. But the garlic bread, like they FedEx
around. A weird Elvis impersonator? I don't know. I've never heard of a weird Elvis impersonator. They all seem pretty
only buttoned
down the
up
middle.
Really
to me.
Cool ones.
All right. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka who drank the pee I put in the fridge. Tell me now, confess to me your snitch. Who drank the pee I just put right here? It was fresh, looked like a nice cold beer. Who drank the pee now? It's courtesy of No Clue on the Discord, but at Radio Giorgio on Twitter, I had a real end of Usual Suspects moment where I realized those are the same person. Fucking blew my mind, man.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, the founder of Kobayashi Ceramics Company. It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Her Majesty's Prince Consort, a.k.a. OC, the official courtesan, a.k.a. Camilla Smoking Bowls. Thank you so much to Bottles and fans on Discord for my royal titles. Now,
there you go.
Appreciate
Beautiful.
It.
Well, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined by one of our favorite guests that comes on TDZ, a very funny comedian from Good Mythical Morning and the Star Wars show. He's the co-creator of Newsbroke and the host of the podcast Frotcast and Pod Yourself a Gun. Mm-hmm. Please welcome the very funny, the very spread out, man spreaded the fuck out. It's Matt Lee!
Matt! Dig through the ditches and burn through the witches and slam in the back of my
Matt Lieb's car. What's up, guys? I don't own a Dragula, but right. I do own a 2006 Honda Civic.
Hell yeah.
Would it worked with Corolla in the back of my Corolla.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's
no notes. No notes from me.
The king of parody songs with the just
goddamn like, right,
like low energy punchline at the end, just like yeah. the pod yourself a gun.
That's what I do, man.
Dude,
I like
full disclosure. Yeah, and I don't know if we'll even put this out on the podcast, but so Jack and I were working on a basketball podcast.
Oh hell!
And there was a title that we really loved, and we couldn't stop saying it like the pod yourself a gun. Intro, yeah. And we're like, dude, do we like hit up Matt and just be like, hey, man, we really fuck with the construction of the theme song?
Got rejected, well, unfortunately.
Got rejected.
Oh, but damn, dude. That's
can
too
we
bad.
Say what it was?
Yeah, it yeah. was Mama, There Goes That Podcast.
I love a good just saying podcast randomly in a yeah. in a title bit. So
yeah, I mean, you're the inventor, you're the creator, of course.
You the first that. Guy to ever do it, you know.
Yeah,
it was damn.
Me
pod
and the
yourself a gun.
I mean,
me and the Pod Save America guys.
Yeah,
you know,
fighting
we're
back
one
to
and
back.
The same. Exactly.
Batman and Robin.
Wait, you're not from Pod Save America? I thought.
No, huh. No, that's a different podcast. Okay. Pod Save America. I mean, I was the original. I was actually the third John. They just called me John for some reason.
that's just the custom when you go. Like,
yeah, when you go on that guy. Show, they change your name to John, and I was like, all right, I'll do it. But then, you know, I called like Hillary Clinton a wench, and then they kicked me
Ooh,
off. I know
no.
I shouldn't have used the word wench.
Not in this house.
I know.
Yeah, it's like when Lauren is hiring someone for SNL, I call him Lauren because we're very close.
Yeah, you guys are close.
Yeah, when he's hiring for someone for SNL, he asks them how they are with wigs. When someone's coming on Pod Save America, they're like, how are you with changing your name to John?
To John.
And I'm like, yeah, sure, dude. I'll do whatever to, you know, to do podcasting, pretty much. I'll do whatever you guys need.
You would do anything for podcasts.
Like, I would do anything.
Including that.
We'd love to give him his own show. He just won't change his name from Matt to John. That's the only thing holding this thing.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, that's the one thing that would have made my career has been John. There's too many Matts. So I actually, John Lieb, that sounds good. I'll do it.
Yeah. That John, and you wouldn't get a vote blue no matter who backed that.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I mean, I told them I would get a vote blue, like, unless they're only blue in name, but really they're red, though. Like, and they were like, that's too long. It won't fit on your back. And I was like,
blue,
oh.
But like, if side by side, their policies basically look like a centrist Republican, then
right.
I'm then, a little conflicted and want to reserve my right to not be so rigid with how I vote.
And that yeah. point, and at that point, the tattoo has reached your taint. And
well, yeah. yeah. Well, yeah. While I was explaining that to them, the CIA put a bag over my head and they drove me back home. And I was like, ah, shit. I guess I didn't make the audition for Pod Save America.
No, Hot you damn. Didn't.
That's like, fine. Wow.
All right, Matt, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, mm-hmm. we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things that we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the mass shooter in Portland that was undercovered, misrepresented early on in the reporting from the mainstream media.
I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. It's a thing that they don't really want to talk about.
I think only like CNN type news places are only now today beginning to have like full on reporting about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyways, we're going to talk about that. We are going to talk about the fact that you had the distinct privilege of watching the first release from Ben Shapiro's film production company, a film by the name of Shut In. I want to know, what is it like?
Oh, it's unlike any experience I've ever experienced when it comes to movie watching.
Yeah. I mean, and you have been radicalized.
Oh, completely. What they claimed. Completely. Yeah. Yes.
All of that, plenty more. Before we get to any of that shit, Matt, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Yeah. My most recent search history was four big guys and they bust on my eyes. Now, so let me explain what. So that's a song that I heard at one point.
Yeah,
and I was trying to find out what the name of it was so I could make a little content. And the song is called Four Big Guys, and it's just a song about it's a song about people busting on each other's eyes and having sex and. I spliced it into a video of, did you guys see the 60 yeah. Minutes profile? Of,
yeah, I'm glad you brought this up.
Of Havana Syndrome.
So the 60 Minutes did a story on Havana Syndrome this past weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been sharing this clip around where it's very strange because, you know, 60 Minutes has an elderly viewing audience. And so they are like, and somebody got a recording of the noise that was causing the syndrome. We're about to play it for you. But just so you know, the noise will not give you Havana Syndrome. And then they
will
play
not
it.
Hurt you.
They play it. It's the crickets that we've heard before.
Yes, it is buzzing cicadas.
Yes. But you had a different take on it.
Yeah, I spliced it with this song called Four Big Guys. And
so there's the 60 Minutes build up letting you know the sound you're about to hear.
Do not worry. The sound will not hurt you. It is like the sound of a gun. It is not the sound that does right. the injury.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's what he recorded. And he's like, four big guys. And they bust on my eyes. They eat my ass just like apple pies. It's a really great song.
It's good
and I
content.
Suggest that everyone, listen to
it. It is a good song.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
And at one point, a guy's like, he's dunking his balls in my booty like he's Scottie Pippen, which is like, I think a nice shout out to Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see that a lot in rap music these days.
Yeah, not really giving praise to Scottie Pippen like that.
Yeah.
You know,
like people forget that he wasn't just the second best player on the Bulls. He was the second best player probably in the league at the time.
Right. Yeah.
So
and the king of odd insertions.
Obviously. Yes. He's the king of dunking his balls and people.
Wait, who's the artist that does Four Big Guys?
Okay, so it's from the only place where I got it was an album on Spotify called MVP Meme Music. So I don't know.
So it has been purchased.
I assume
by
so.
A consortium.
It's been purchased by a consortium, which is too bad because I'd really like to know the artists because they're very good. I mean, they spit hot fire.
And, the song's great. Yeah.
It's a great song. So, you know.
Yeah. By the way, I flew United back to Florida for my dad's 70th. And United has the DirecTV thing. So I got to watch the 88 dunk contest again.
Oh, yeah.
Which I had watched the shit out because like one of the three VHSs I had in my house when I was a kid was Dazzling Dunks and Basketball Bloopers. And that was like sort of the climax of it. Uh-huh. But I'd like forgotten how fucking cool some of the dunks are.
Oh, yeah.
In that contest.
Was it Moses Malone in that one?
No. It's Jordan Dominique. Oh. It's in Chicago. Oh. So, like, they really want Jordan to win. Dominique is doing wild shit. But Jordan, like, does one dunk that I had totally forgotten where he's, like, his cheek, like, brushes the rim. It's fucking wild. People
forget also how good Dominic Wilkins was. Like, that dude was.
Dominic Wilkins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Dominique, excuse me.
Come on now, put some respect Toretta. On Neek's name.
All right. Listen.
Hey, that Dominic Watkins guy.
I call him Dominic, all right? He's Dom.
You watch too much Sopranos.
He's I've been watching way too much Sopranos. Everyone's Dom too. Little Dom Wilkies.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated, planning a wedding. Weddings in general, it is an incredibly expensive party that the bride and groom don't get to enjoy. And to be honest, I'm not even sure who gets to enjoy it, because most weddings I go to, I'm like, I'm here for the food and to see a couple of friends, but this feels very expensive and for no one. So I'm going to say weddings. I'm currently getting married to your previous guest, Francesca Fiorentini.
Yes.
And we are just in the midst of, you know, trying to line up all of our vendors and, you know, our guest list and all that stuff. And everyone just wants to everyone wants to charge you too much for everything.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. Why do they charge you more if you're in love?
That's the thing I cannot stand about the wedding industry. It's like,
it's so evil.
They're like, oh, you want to rent a fork? Normally that's 60 cents to rent a fork. Oh, wait. It's going to go in the mouth, and I'm at a mouth at a wedding? Oh, it's $3 now. What?
Immediately they just, like, all the prices go up because everything is going to be touched with love, you know? Right. So they're like, oh, well, you know, if you want to get the good forks, it's right. going to cost you $10 a fucking prom.
You know what's funny? When I just got married a couple weeks ago in the lead up to our wedding. Thank you, man. I was trying to find every single way to like hack around it, to the point where I asked, you know, my now wife, Her Majesty, I said, what if we said we were having a business merger at a hotel and we kind of kept it fun and said everyone had to say they were there for the business merger, and like we would, so that way, like, it's just a catered meal. It's just the same banquet things, because it's just a meeting. It's not a wedding. And then, we're going to dance outside, but like, just see how
people
we could
dance
try
at corporate events.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's DJs.
There's
comedians,
DJs and shit.
You know?
Yeah. At this point, I have now started referring to it just as an event. So, like, the ice cream people, I was like, we are going to have an 80-person event in June. How much does it cost for you to do that? And they were like, you could tell that they were going like, okay, yeah, but, like, what kind of event is it? Will there be flowers?
Party.
And I'm just
That's
like,
the other thing I said. Anniversary party.
Oh, okay. I mean, you think they I feel like they'll charge you. If love is in there.
Right.
I'm saying.
You'd be surprised.
Oh, man. Well, I fucked up and said wedding most of the time, and now it's just the ice cream people are going to be relatively cheaper. But I'm worried they're going to show up and be like, hey, this is a wedding?
Oh, hell no.
This costs double now. And then
pack it up, Brenda. It's a wedding. Yeah, exactly. Just like I thought.
And then they let all the ice cream melt.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, you know, planning a wedding is just it's hard, dude. I just want to be in love. Why can't I just be in love?
Best piece of advice I got was, like, right before the wedding, was someone said, hey man, make sure you act like a guest at your wedding, don't act like a host. That's like thing, because it's real easy to get in host mindset, and like you're saying, it's like, who's this fucking thing for?
Right.
But, like, if you can kind of resolutely say, like, when the day comes, obviously you got to have your shit together to make, you know, make things, everything's happening according to plan. But when the day comes, just be a fucking guest, because you got to enjoy the fuck out of that day.
Well, me being a guest means just eating alone and going to the bathroom for too long. So I think my wife will be mad at
dance.
That. Where's that? Yeah, the first dance music at last shows, like, starts playing, and Francesca's just waiting for me, and I'm like, I'm taking a shit, hold on.
Dude, do the next dance. Like,
do the next one. Do daddy-daughter dance. Daddy-daughter.
Yeah.
This is going to be a few minutes, so maybe do mommy-daughter, too.
Knock them both out. Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
Bro, you know what's underrated? Instagram. at Matt Leaf Jokes. Here's the thing, guys. I've realized that in spending the last, I don't know, 8 years trying to get my Twitter following up, that Instagram has passed me by. And because of that, my career is real stagnant. So what I need is, number one, if anyone out there works at Instagram, hook it up with a blue check mark, dude. This time, I promise I won't lose it like I did with my Twitter blue check mark. And then also,
did you just misplace the Twitter one? Or?
No, I pretended to be the New York Times, and I abused my blue check mark, and they won't give it back. And yeah, so like, you know, my Instagram is great. I got videos of me doing Sopranos parody songs that at least you guys will like. By you guys, I mean Jack and Miles. And, you know, and I got amazing content, like four big guys busting on eyes during the 60 Minutes thing. So, and occasionally there's a picture of my beautiful wife.
Yeah.
So,
there
anyways,
you go.
That's super gotta underrated. Go. And I think at Matt Leap Jokes, it's very good.
Go follow now.
Follow it, please.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. By the way, did you watch the whole 60 Minutes thing or just enough to get inspired?
I didn't. I just watched clips of it, and I'm dubious about the whole thing. So like the idea of watching the entire 60 Minutes thing just to me seemed like I would just be making fun of it the whole time. And part of me does feel like a little bit bad because I'm sure some of these people like truly believe that something bad has happened to them.
Oh yeah.
And I, you know, I try to limit the amount of time I spend in my life just yelling at the TV and calling people liars who I've never met.
Yeah.
But I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. It all sounds fake, and I don't want to be convinced out of that.
So you're saying that you don't even think people are experiencing symptoms at all, or
I believe there are people who are legitimately experiencing some sort of symptoms of something.
Right. But not some death beam that's being
right. Exactly. Yeah. This microwave death beam that exists sounds like a CIA op, and I don't believe it. But you know, that's my bias. That's where my bias is. So,
is that based off of a history of CIA ops that were mentioned?
No. This is just one time where I've decided that I don't believe the CIA. Every other time they've been right and doing good things.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, I just decided this is the one I'm not going to believe. The CIA.
Normally,
you know,
I stand.
Yeah. Oh, we all stand the CIA. Well, they're inclusive. They believe in gay rights.
That's right.
And for that, I commend them and wish to join.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I'll watch it and talk about it on a future episode at some point.
I'm very excited.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about Portland.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back, and a 43-year-old man in Portland opened fire on a group of unarmed protesters that were marching in memory of Amir Locke, and, you know, one woman, a 60-year-old, who volunteers to do traffic control to protect fellow protesters, was killed. Multiple others were wounded. One is paralyzed from being shot in the neck. And then, you know, after the victims were screaming for help, another person at a nearby part of the protest came over, was lawfully carrying a gun, and shot back at the mass shooter and wounded him. And that's what stopped the mass shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So seems like kind of a big story, right?
Yeah, it sounds like some right-wing terror, if I've ever heard of it. But,
yeah,
you know, if you, again, if you're not on Twitter, or more, even more specifically, like leftist Twitter, felt like you were completely, you would have not heard anything about this. You know, like, there was like a headline of like some kind of shooting happening in Portland, and then that was about it. And then if you were solely relying on like local media and police reporting, you wouldn't know what the fuck happened. Like the way the early reports, the way they were worded, it sounded like they were like, yeah, man, it's like this resident got in a dispute with like armed protesters.
I think, and they then, said homeowner, like, right? They call it homeowner to add like a layer of like he's just, you
private
know,
property, baby.
Protecting his private property.
Exactly. Yet it was a guy who was renting an apartment who was essentially not just some guy who was just, you know, had enough of people just being loud in the park across the street. No, as like his roommate described him, said, you know, over the years, he's gotten more and more radicalized. Like it started at the end of Obama's presidency, and he started getting angrier and angrier. I would hear him yell like racial slurs and like, you know, misogynistic things from his like room, just shouting or talking about how he wanted to shoot commies or Antifa and things like that. And even he was also part of the furry community, but he was more on the fash end of the furry spectrum.
I'm sorry, and there's a fash end of the furry spectrum that exists?
Well, because I think a lot of the more prominent furries that you hear that are involved in social justice are like anti-fascist, anti-racist, and they're absolutely like they're trying to purge people from the community because it's like it's not inclusive. Like we're not fucking with this. And this guy was already going head to head even within the furry community. So like he had this reputation from having these conflicts, becoming increasingly radicalized, and eventually it boiled over. It went from being watching a lot of YouTube videos to now acting out his like violent fantasies in real life. But initial reports kept it as sort of like, hey man, it sounds like something weird happened at one of those protests when people started arguing, rather than what happened was this guy came up to this group of like traffic control volunteers who were all women and completely removed from like the main protest, targeted this group of people, started yelling all kinds of wild shit. And when someone tried to de-escalate, he just opened fire.
Jesus. Yeah. And he's a right-wing furry. I think like a lot of it is, you know, and this is just complete speculation, but like everything that's going on in Portland or has been going on in Portland seems to be completely only covered by right-wing media. Mm-hmm. Right-wing media is the only place where you get to see, you know, every other week you get to see them saying like Antifa has taken over Portland. And the second that, like, you know, all of this reporting culminates in the actual death of people by the hands of someone who's consumes their media, they're like, oh, well, we can't really. This doesn't fit our narrative. You know, yeah. It's supposed to be Antifa who is killing everyone or, you know, trying to force old ladies to do CRT, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like this, you know, this just doesn't fit the narrative. So who would cover it? And right. The question is why the mainstream media wouldn't cover this either.
I think because they're not interested in just taking the, you know, like the first sort of comments from the police described it as a confrontation between an armed resident and armed protesters.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
even now, that's how it's being reported, that like after an initial conflict, Smith reportedly pulled out a handgun and shot five people. Someone shot back at Smith, police said, hitting him near his hip. So it does. Yeah, it sounds like it's the fucking shootout at the OK Corral instead of him. Somebody opening fire on a group of unarmed protesters, people who were peacefully protesting. He shot the woman he killed, a 60-year-old woman. He shot at close range in the head.
Like Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, at first they were like, you know, now they're looking for the armed protester who fired back. Once the police saw one of the protesters who was in the group that was, you know, fired on, they had a GoPro on their helmet. Once the police saw the GoPro footage, they were like, oh, yeah, we have this guy completely was acting in self-defense. Like this person just came at these people and started shooting.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other dimension of the story that's completely missing. To your point, like whether it's right wing media or just general corporate media, right wing media doesn't fit their narrative of like Antifa being the like uber violent aggressors that they need them to be in their like sort of manufactured worldview. Whereas corporate media, they're not interested in it because they're also custodians of like white supremacy. And to be like full throated, be like, this is a right wing, you know, terror attack. That's too much. You know, they're unwilling to actually go there when every single person who was at the event will just describe it as such. And, you know, and clearly the video was clear enough to the police that they had no interest in charging or doing anything with the person who was defending these people.
Yeah, I wonder how much of the mainstream media's resistance is tied to the backlash on the right.
I think 100%.
Yeah,
I think
like 100%. The right and, you know, Tucker Carlson having that documentary claiming that, like, this is all Trump. Like, that, I think that has had an effect for sure.
I think so, too, because it explains kind of a general media blackout when it comes to just things that happen in the Pacific Northwest that are, like, so egregious that should be a big deal, just aren't. Like, the, you know, Trump sanctioning the execution of that one guy that he like shot or he had like shot and killed a policeman or something like that. He was like a left-wing protester, which is like, obviously that's murder. You should be arrested. But rather than arresting him, he was just executed by a group of like federally deputized policemen. Do you guys remember this story? Mm-hmm. Are you guys
was this familiar? Also in Portland?
This, I think it was Pacific Oregon Northwest, or Washington. Yeah. It was Pacific Northwest. But in general, like the right-wing media's effect on, I think, the rest of the corporate media with regards to like Portland and the Pacific Northwest and all the like the actions that have happened, like the protests and whatnot and like occupations, they look at that and they go like, well, those guys are the far left. So, you know. Sometimes, like, I personally think that they look at that and they kind of agree with the right wing take.
Yeah, I think so.
Without actually saying like that they agree with it.
I think, well, because I'm sure from their perspective, too, they're saying they're going too far in their pursuit of justice. Or
right.
Equality,
exactly.
You know what I mean? And I think that's where it makes people uncomfortable, especially if you're in a hegemonic class that. Watching people take strides to pursue equality looks like terror to them.
Right. So, and like for they were doing it in a way that, you know, they're looking at it as like, oh, these guys are actual threats to us. You know, like mm-hmm. if these people were in power, you know, then they would bring the guillotine out and stuff like that, rather than like looking at this as like a part of a greater whole where like literally the entire country was marching for justice.
I feel like the mainstream media is still stuck in like sort of the Clintonian like mind totally. Frame of like, you know, corporations, like whatever is the most profitable will ultimately be the most good. And like mm-hmm. Clinton's main sort of like genius for politics was triangulation, right? He took mm-hmm. he took whatever like one side believed, whatever the other side believed, and like would put himself right in the middle of those things. Right. And I feel like that is where the mainstream media still like kind of finds its gravitational pull is like right. towards that. And so as things
being pulled
go
further and further to the right and still right. claiming to be the center.
Right. Because the right is moving further and further towards mm-hmm. fucking Nazism. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very frustrating. Yeah. I also think just as regards the right, there definitely seems to be like, it's really not surprising to me that this person, the person that they shot at close range in the head and killed was an old woman. There, mm-hmm. there's like some real bully shit that like I feel like goes under, you know, anti-woman, like misogyny, obviously racism, but like I don't know. It just feels like that is so. There's so much rage and anger towards women tied mm-hmm. up in the right. I know that's like not news, but it really seems to be underreported because it's just, I don't know, it's, I guess we've come to accept it, you know.
I mean, this is someone who was clearly looking for victims and not so much looking to get in like a shootout, you know. This was someone right. who was looking to just kill a bunch of people and be right. able to, you know, run away.
Yeah, it's still being described as looking for a fight. He wasn't looking for somebody who was going to fight back.
No, right? Yeah, he was looking to murder. This is what a mass shooter does. And it's not being reported that way because everyone doesn't know how they feel, at least in the corporate media, about people who protest in the Pacific Northwest. They're all seen as like a bunch of communists. So they're ambivalent towards like what are actual, these are actual like fascist movements that are happening in the Pacific Northwest, you know, and Antifa is a response to those fascists. It's like literally they're going around screaming, these guys are Nazis. And the corporate media goes, oh, these guys call everyone Nazis.
Right.
And then
it's like, well, they got the swastika. All right. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly. No. They're saying it. They're saying I am Nazi.
They like Third Reich regalia.
Yeah, exactly.
They're into that. And again, it's just about, in general, the media is just ill-equipped to be able to have a sober-eyed analysis of white supremacy and just rampant inequality. Because whenever stories like that pop up, it's always some weird fucking half step to acknowledging what's happening. Rather than saying like, no, this is actually what's happening. This is a problem. But because it's just like, I don't know. You know, I don't really like to talk about that stuff. It's like that's what it feels like. The media is like a very uncomfortable, rich person who would rather not get too bogged down on the dark shit that's happening.
Right. And for the rest of us, we look at it and you're going like, you know, the halfway, this like centrist point, this halfway point is you going like, well, you know, then maybe they deserve to die. That's what their halfway point is. Like, I'm going to be ambivalent about the literal death of people. It's insane.
Yeah. There's this old guy in my neighborhood who walks by our house every once in a while. And one time he started yelling at my wife while she was putting our kids in our car because we have a Black Lives Matter sign on our house. So I was coming home as this was happening and like found out after the fact. I walked down the street. He was just like still walking down the street, accosting another young woman. And when I walked up to him, the degree to which he shut the fuck up and was just like out of there and just did not want any sort of conflict when another white male was involved, presumably, was pretty. And he still walks by and like won't like look at me when he walks by. Like, it's just, but I don't know, man. Like when they broke into the Capitol building, they went immediately for like Nancy Pelosi's office and wrote like the C word on her desk. And it's just like, they are so mad at women.
They really hate women. That's, you know, and whenever someone like ties all this stuff back to Gamergate, I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's correct. Like, this is underlying this whole thing is that like women are trying to change us. And it's, you know, it's a lot of misogynist energy that comes from it. And they just kind of disguise it in other things. But, you know, at the core, they're just people who hate women and want to yell at someone who they think they are stronger than, which is peak fascism.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But also, like, why do you have to put your politics like right here on front of, in the front lawn of our neighborhood? You know?
Right.
Oh, why'd you do that, Jack?
Oh, this isn't a political statement. This is a philosophical one. That's what I believe.
Yeah. Well, you know what? What I believe is white lives matter.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right, you want a box?
Come on,
catch a fair one. Come on.
Do you have a wife? I'll fight your wife.
Could you bring your wife over here?
Like, what the?
He wouldn't even say a thing. Like, he was just like stunned silence when a man walked up. And
that's the whole
thing.
And I know we're about to talk about this military base story, but like, it's the same way you see them going after like gay and trans kids or people now. Who's a group that we feel is vulnerable that we can just fucking shove around and not and hope that there's minimal blowback for trying to completely terrorize these people.
And
that's what's happening with all these fucking Greg Abbott signed a bill on Wednesday or Tuesday night. That was essentially like deputizing school officials to become like hunters of trans kids and their parents.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that's their whole sort of, I think, way of affirming their potency or power is to be like, yeah, but see, we can fuck up all these marginalized people. It's kind of hard. Ship set sail on doing that to most Americans. So we're going to pick at the margins.
You know, it just reminds me of something that I saw. There was a representative, I think, from Kentucky. You know, that he's like the libertarian one. I forget his name. He's not Rand Paul. But he posted this meme. It's an old, old right-wing meme with a misattributed Voltaire quote that says, like, if you want to know who's in power, then it's the people who you can't criticize. And it's like this old, like, it's a cartoon of, like, a big hand crushing, like, all these, like, people. And it's an old anti-Semitic meme about the people you're not allowed to criticize are always the people in power. And someone else posted a different version of it where the big hand was children with leukemia. and for me, I was like, that is the perfect distillation of actually what is going on.
Yeah.
Because we live in this society in which we have, I don't know, there's a certain like social contract with each other where we're like, it's mean to make fun or to go after the small marginalized groups. That's why we don't do it, you know? And the thing is we have a history of doing that. So in being told you are not allowed to, you know, discriminate against trans people, you know, you are not allowed to be misogynist, you know, you're not allowed to be racist towards people. They look at that and they go like, that's how you know they're in power, because I can't go, you know, up to a child with leukemia and slap them in the face. So like this idea of like going after weaker people is, or, you know, people who they perceive as being they perceive them as being in power. That's the whole thing. So they look at trans people and they go like, oh, these are the people who are really in charge. You're like every single marginalized group they think is more important than them.
Right. You know? It's like it's this zero sum game of, oh, if these people are marginally doing better,
right,
I need to be like, let me check you real quick.
Right.
Let me just let you know who's actually, and like to your point, it's almost like this, actually, no, we're in charge. We will tell you when you can have rights. We will dictate to you, or we will define what equality is. And it isn't what the fuck you're talking about. So the second you try and take up and pursue liberation on your own terms.
Yes.
No.
Right.
No, because that excludes us from this dynamic.
Exactly.
Where
you're excluding us from the decision to give you the rights, to give you any power at all. And that's so that's what they're being told. They're like, you know, it's why white people, you know, or a lot of white people like talk about affirmative action in this way where they're like, oh, you know, they're getting special rights and whatnot, and not at all looking at it in terms of like the from a historical perspective at all, or like from like just a protection, like the idea that you would try to protect people who are marginalized should be a normal thing, but instead they look at it as like a power struggle,
right? So, and empathy has been weaponized, so completely. Now it's like, well, why are these people getting it? And I think people need to like really ask themselves is, what is the harm that's done when you make someone's life easier?
Right.
Where's the fucking harm? Because that's essentially what all these people who have some kind of, you know, they're using their energy to advocate for something that's a positive for somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's all this pursuit is in. It's just to make things easier, to have health care that doesn't bankrupt you is made so your life can be easier.
Yeah.
To not begin having your like Geheimestaats Polizei 2.0 looking for trans kids isn't like the point of trying to give gender affirming care to kids to make their fucking life easier.
Right. Yeah.
So what the fuck are, what's the fucking damage? And that's the thing. That's always the thing they have trouble articulating. And it has to be all these weird straw man arguments or whataboutisms or total disinformation.
Well, it's always a secret plot to victimize them for being like, quote, normal. You know, it's like, this is what you're doing. You're victimizing my straight cisgendered kid by giving, you know, special consideration or any kind of like,
okay, acknowledgement. Let's zoom out a bit. Do you think people deserve just dignity in general, and they deserve to have, you know, a life that isn't filled with pain?
Not if dignity is a zero-sum game or pain, you know?
You know what I mean? And that's all, like, that's it. Because you see people, you know, especially you see evangelical people who are super close-minded.
Yeah.
And, again, can find all these, like, logic holes to begin to justify why their whole worldview is actually in direct opposition to their, you know, purported savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But, you know,
God, they're so horny to be the victim, man. They just fucking want, they gotta be the victim. Like, somehow,
right. Of course. That's why I think more people pulled up for that trucker shit, because it gave them an opportunity to do victim cosplay.
Exactly.
Oppressed people aren't interested in victimhood cosplay. They experience that shit all the time. There's no need to go out there and be like, oh my God, bring your gas canisters. But also, it is clearly a very potent organizing force for that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an interesting dimension of it that, you know, obviously not many people are going to be like, what is it obvious? I mean, people have been analyzing the convoy and that, this, that, and the other, but it's that need to be a victim too, that I think has a huge role in seeing a lot of the participation, because it gives you the opportunity to be able to be like, I was there and they took away my raincoat.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. These are people who have, you know, they've never protested in solidarity with anyone ever before. And it's the first time that they've ever encountered what protests are. And they're like, wow, you know, this is some sort of police state.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, no shit.
Actually, police state or at a normal protest, the police don't let you take selfies in the backseat of their car and then let you out. Asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing with the trans kids thing is that I, you know, have seen with other parents being like, well, how would you know? Like, what if your kid like did that? Like, hey, you can't trust a thing. Like, my kid says they're like a mermaid some days. And just, I understand that initial impulse. If all you're seeing is a single social media post and trying to make your decision based on that, do just the smallest amount of fucking reading. Read an interview with somebody who was trans, who is trans, and whose parents listened to them. You never hear them say, I wish my parents hadn't listened to me. All you hear mm-hmm. is them say, my parents saved my life in listening to me and taking me seriously. But yeah, that's an initial sort of response that you're from people whose children aren't trans. And so they haven't dealt with it and don't understand.
It was the same thing with like Prop 8 or like DOMA, you know, and like gay marriage. The mouth breather rebuttal was, well, then what next? Then what next?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then what's next? I don't know, man. Do you know a guy who's married to a fucking cat?
Yeah. Right. I love that.
You love to say that shit.
There's no one at a protest holding up a sign with a poodle and a question mark on it. It's just like, oh, it's time to fuck animals.
No, let's that's called them. Bestiality, and that's fucked up.
Yeah,
also,
nobody's asking for that.
Nothing to do with this.
But you keep mentioning it over and over. Right. That's just someone who wants to. That's just someone who really just wants that and doesn't know how to ask for it.
Read some of your posts.
It does seem like a concerted. This is the new frontier that they're fighting is against parents who help their children who are trans.
Yeah.
That's what they've moved on to from gay marriage. They're like, okay, we lost that one.
Right. And that's right. They'll keep retreating. They're like, okay, fuck it. We can't segregate, like fully bring back Jim Crow. Then let's go after critical race theory. The thing that even gave people an imagination to understand how complex this white supremacist capitalist patriarchy is that we live in this country.
But I think their foothold on the parents of trans children thing is entirely built on that initial like instinct of parents to be like, well, my kids says the wildest shit. So all you have to do is just do, it's not a lot of reading. It's just a small amount of reading.
And you know what's so funny? I know more people who talk about how they wish their parents weren't so rigid about gender when they were kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Than I've heard, like, and more not in the sense of like, oh, they were too loose with me. I got so confused. I didn't know what was going on. It was like, nah, like I fucking didn't want to have long hair. And I remember like being so pissed my parents wouldn't let me cut my hair shorter because I was a girl or I looked like a girl, I was presenting as a girl. And rather than just, you know, the thing that parents just need to understand is just need to love your fucking kids.
Right.
That's really what it is. And you're not going to go wrong loving them. It's one thing to enable something to be enabling, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Right.
It's about providing an environment of acceptance, love, and support that's consistent enough that you raise a human being that doesn't go around with a massive black hole in their fucking, soul and trying to find answers in the most destructive ways.
Yeah.
And to think that, again, that with these bills, not just that one, but these don't say gay bills that are popping up all over, you know, being led by Florida, it's about trying to say that being an empathetic parent is bad. That's what they're trying to push back against, is that you could be an understanding parent. And that's, I think, what all of this backlash around critical race theory or the perceived idea that it's being taught in schools when it's not. Is all about trying to fucking just fry out people's empathy circuits so they're willing to just stomach anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, one second. I wanted to ask one question. Becca, you said your friend who lived in New York is now afraid to live in Portland. You're saying what was your take on that?
So I lived in Portland for a couple years, like almost three, and I moved right at the start of the pandemic to New York City. Crazy, I know. But I still have a lot of friends that live in the city of Portland, and they have said during their time in Portland, it's been super stressful, super chaotic. And mind you, these are all primarily like women of color who've like really built up the community of color in Portland. And they have said that, you know, one of them, of my good friends, she lived in New York for about 10 years. She's from Philly. She went to Howard. So she's like someone who is not like from a sheltered area. And
she knows how to navigate.
Yeah, she knows how to navigate situations. And she's lived in Portland. I mean, she hasn't left Portland. And she said it's been really tough. It's been really scary to be a Black woman in Portland right now. And that she has felt more afraid the past couple of years with everything going on in Portland than she ever felt in New York.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. More that it's become this venue where like there's openly fascist people just trouncing around. And I thought you were saying that like she's like, no, Antifa's really bad out here, but more so just how
the conflict, the other way, like the Proud Boys are really bad, and just conflict and shots. And she's like, I've been more afraid of shootings in Portland than I was ever in New York City. Like, it's just been super, super bad. I mean, she went to Howard during 9/11. Like, you know, she's been through it. And the past couple of years in Portland have been super tough on her mental. Like, she's just been like, I don't know how much longer I can stay in Portland, even though she's built a life there, because it's just gotten so bad to just be a person of color in that city. Mm. Yeah. So I don't know. And I've seen a lot of my friends leave too in the past couple of years, as much as I've had a lot of friends and I made a really strong community of color there. I've seen a lot of people leave just because it's desolate and scary. Mm.
I mean, Robert Evans moved there because he was like, this is where the Civil War is going to pop off if it does. And like,
he's not wrong
from a reporting standpoint. Like, this is like the level of fascism and organized fascism that is happening in Portland is something that I want to be there to cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking scary. All right. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about Ben Shapiro's movie.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
And we're back, and Ben Shapiro, The Daily Wire, made the news a couple years ago by they were like, "We're coming for Hollywood, baby. No more Holly Weird. We're gonna start making movies for the rest
Holly
of America.
Holly Normal time."
And they have released. First of all, at their like announcement, they were in like tuxedos. I don't know. It's a very strange, like their version of what Hollywood is. Tuxedos and cigars seems to be like what they want to get into, the side right. of Hollywood they want to get into. But
yeah, right. They saw The Aviator. And they were, you know, and they were just like, oh, this whole, you know, Samuel Goldwyn and, you know, Louis B. Mayer with their top hats and their long cigarettes. And it's like, I don't think you know what Hollywood looks like.
Yeah. But anyways, we just got their first movie. Miles, as you were mentioning, it's not like a homegrown, like Ben Shapiro pitched an idea to a panel of fascists. This is actually a movie that was in development for a little while at a different studio, right? You said Focus?
Yeah. It was a Blacklist script, okay? You know.
That's insane.
Shout out Franklin and Kate, who've been on the show. And, you know, it was also on top of the Bloodlist, too, I think, for like sort of more like horror-centric right. films. And then I remember it first, or not I remember, I remember from looking at it, because I was looking up the writer, New Line had first bid to get the script, and they won. And New Line Cinema was the people who got the script from this writer, Melanie Toast. And
happy
Jason
Toast
Bateman,
Day to her, by the way.
Yeah, happy Toast Day to you. And Jason Bateman was initially, I think, attached to direct this film. Mm. And then...
Jason Bateman?
Yeah. Jason Bateman was going to direct it. And
has
then,
he directed anything?
A couple episodes of Ozark.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but that's how you get your beak wet.
Hey, you gotta start somewhere.
Gotta start somewhere, Jason Bateman.
Yeah. First you become a huge movie star as a child. Then a TV star. Take then a break. Back to movies.
Do a cult comedy and yeah. you're back in, baby.
You're back but in.
Then, like all Hollywood deals, it did this thing where they didn't do anything during the option period. So yeah. the window closed. New Line was like, all right, well, I guess we can't do anything with it. And then that's when one of the producers took it to the Daily Wire to be like, hey, how about this thing? Much to the chagrin of the writer, because I've gone to Melanie Toast's Twitter page and she hasn't tweeted, like, I think since it was announced the Daily Wire was going to be making the film.
Oh,
and she liked a tweet recently, like in the last week. And some of the recent likes have been things about like sort of commiserating or being like, I feel so bad for anybody who's caught up with this production company who had no fucking intention of working with these people. And now fucking Ben Shapiro is distributing your film. Like, and those are the likes I see. And I'm like, oh, you poor thing, man.
Yeah, that's like career ending bad luck.
Oh, yeah. I know, especially since it was a Blacklist script, you know, you're like, she's for sure on top of the world. She's just like, I can't believe this. And then Ben Shapiro gobbles it up. Yeah. And you're just like, ah, fuck. Now I'm aligned with Candace Owens because I made a fucking thriller about a lady stuck in a closet.
If you saw Daily Wire, they made a fucking escape room modeled after like the pantry that the protagonist is in throughout the film. Yes. And Candace Owens had to escape from it. Like, they did, like, a who's who of right-wing trash commentators to participate in the fucking escape room. And it was like, oh, I hate this kind of content.
Oh, but that sucks. Anyway, I feel bad. I didn't know that backstory about Melanie Toast. Because, first of all, I've just been chortling at her name for a while, because Toast is a great last name just to pop up when you don't know what you're saying, especially since the director is DJ Caruso.
Right.
Like a legit director.
It's a legit director. A good director. But, you know, written by Melanie Toast and directed by DJ Caruso just sounds like they just sound like featured rappers on Donda.
Right,
2.
Right, right. Yeah. Like Melanie Toast sounds like a sick young money artist.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, so this Yeah, the heated Disturbia and Triple X Return of Xander Cage. Okay, not the original.
Oh, Triple X Return of, yeah.
Less. And Vincent Gallo's still pretty good. It too. You're like, okay.
That's lesser Caruso for sure. But
yeah.
How did this hold up? Because you have seen it, Matt.
Well, I did.
Expectations were presumably very high.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, I was very excited, first of all, to see a movie that was finally going to stick it to Hollywood, you know, something where they're like, we're not going to do any of this, like, you know, this is a movie that anyone can enjoy, regardless of political views. And then, of course, in order to watch the movie, my co-host of the Frogcast, he had to sign up to the Daily Wire in order to actually watch it because they wouldn't send out screeners. And so in order to sign up for the Daily Wire to watch this movie, you have to press the Stand With Us button rather than just subscribe. So he had to, it immediately like inundates you with a bunch of right-wing politics to even watch the fucking thing.
Wow. Yeah.
If you sign up for a year, which is $140 because you have to be a subscriber to watch the film, you get a free Tumblr that's labeled Liberal Tears.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yes. I love my apolitical movies to come with free right-wing merch.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the movie is, I mean, it's a garbled mess. It's one of those like movies where, because just the mere fact that it's like aligned with like the Daily Wire, you're kind of like, you're waiting for the politics to come through. And it really is, it's both political and apolitical at the same time. Like, none of it makes any sense. There's a lot of Apple metaphors in this movie, in which, like, so it's about a woman who is a single mother and she's taking care of her two kids in her dead mother's house. You know, her mom has died, or maybe it was her grandma, and the house is in shambles. She's an ex-addict. She's trying to get, you know, she's trying to stay clean for her kids. And there are all these apple trees, but they have all these rotten apples on them. So you're like, okay, a metaphor is happening here. But the apple metaphor is so, it's just so convoluted that you end up at the end of the movie not knowing what they're trying to do with this apple metaphor. It's like, it's just completely convoluted. She gets locked in a pantry accidentally. And so then
it's like a bottle episode movie. It's like one of those movies that,
it's a single location thriller. You know, like Open Water, right? You know,
the blood life or the lifeblood of like a small studio, which is contained thrillers. You got to do a contained thriller.
Exactly. Which is like,
big bang.
That's fine. But what ends up happening is that her baby daddy, who is still a meth head, locks her into a pantry, and she proceeds to spend the rest of the movie trying to escape the pantry by digging into the floor rather than through the door that's right in front of her. Uh-huh. And meanwhile, she's trying to, at the same time, protect her children from Vincent Gallo, who plays a pedophile who keeps showing up trying to presumably have sex with her children. And I do love the idea of like them sticking it to Hollywood by getting Vincent Gallo to play a Hollywood Democrat who is like trying to have sex with children, which, you know, that's kind of how I looked at it. But and then it just proceeds to kind of have a religious message where she like kind of has to believe in Jesus in order to get out. But it's not like your regular like faith-based type movie, because the metaphors are really mixed. It's like at one point she opens the Bible and finds that her mother had put a bunch of $100 bills in there, you know? So it's like, oh, you know, if you had just opened that Bible, it could have helped you. And then at the same time, she uses a literal cross to like, basically to like dig herself out. But she also hammers a nail through the pedophile's hand. It's just very confusing.
Right.
Right.
At the very end, her meth head husband tries to force her to do meth by gunpoint, which as a drug addict, a clean drug addict of 12 years, you know, no one who's addicted to drugs tries to give other people the drugs.
I know.
Drugs for free. Yeah.
That's not a thing that we've ever done ever.
That was my biggest fear when I was a kid. Was right. That, like, I was going to, somebody was going to be like, you take these drugs, motherfucker.
Exactly.
When I was in the, you know, mind space of like drugs kill. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, well, if they kill, the only way that they'd be able to get me to take them is like by, I remember having nightmares where somebody would like put a gun to my head and then cut my finger and like pour a white powder on the cut. And that was like how I got hooked.
Oh, I think you said.
Yeah.
I love the idea of you just sitting there going like, I got to prepare someday. There's my biggest fear is quicksand.
Quicksand, exactly.
And guy trying to force me to do his drugs that he paid for.
Yeah, the bullies all just wanted you to smoke their weed. And, yes. Kids. And
why are people doing thrillers like that? Like really seriously taking these like just harebrained fears
like
of
fears,
conservatives
yeah.
and blowing them out. Like it is like, oh my God,
Bradley, I love it.
The gay marriage thing happened and now Bradley is with his hog.
Right.
And exactly. It's eating him alive. Like, and you're like, oh my God. Like, really play that out. Really, I'm curious to see
it's
how that
just like
film
the,
does.
In the movie It and the book It, how, you know, it likes to transform into like a children's biggest fear or like people's biggest fear in general. But mm-hmm. It transforms into like a mother accepting their trans kid, you know, yeah, or it turns into quicksand, or it turns into like someone holding a gun to your head and forcing you to do smack.
Someone's yeah. like, oh, doctor, thank you so much. It was really touch and go there. You were in a coma. Well, we had to put you into a coma, but we've repaired all the damage to your organs. And we feel like you'll have a very normal life after this. Thank you. What do I owe you? Probably millions of dollars. You owe us nothing.
What the fuck?
The evil clown is at it again, giving
the
people
free
healthcare.
Surgeries. Free surgeries. Fuck out of here. Also, interesting to note that Rainey Qualley, who is
Margaret
Qualley's sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Andy McDowell's daughter. So,
yeah.
The whole McDowell clan. They're just all knockouts. They're all beautiful.
Yeah.
They're the most beautiful women in the world. Anyways. Sorry. Sorry. Can I be horny on your podcast for a second?
Yeah.
I'm not married yet. I can be in love with a quali.
Hey, right.
Hey, wait. What's the matter with liking one of the qualies?
Hey, yeah. I like the qualies. What are you going to do?
By the way, what a career for Vincent Gallo. So for
career.
People who aren't familiar, he made a solid indie movie in 1998 called Buffalo 66, used that momentum to make a movie called The Brown Bunny, in which he filmed a unsimulated sex scene with Chloe Sevigny. Mm-hmm. And then not much, but he's now a Republican. So that's
Is that right?
Yeah, he hasn't directed anything other than shorts since then. Shorts, I'm going to put in quotes.
So he's now a Republican? Because I was wondering, I was thinking to myself, like, because I don't know his politics, but I could absolutely see him do that heel turn, where he's just like, Hollywood is sick. I would know. I got my dick sucked. You know? Like, that is, that makes a lot of sense.
Vincent Gallo, like, I saw a thing, Vincent Gallo on being a Republican, which could have easily been, you know, him being like, Republicans are fucking stupid. But no, the Hollywood Reporter, in a long, rambling, open letter, the actor, writer, director, producer settled scores with a number of people. And the opening line is, Vincent Gallo likes Donald Trump, quote, a lot, and is, quote, extremely proud he is the American president. Wow. So, you know.
Yeah. I think he just sold, he had a Trump Tower apartment that he just sold.
Wow.
And if you look, he has fucking, like, I mean, it's more than that. Like, he has some, like, wildly anti-Semitic racist shit that he sells on his website.
Wow.
Hey. Yeah. He has, like, a fucking, like, shirt that says, like, whites freed the blacks and shit.
What the fuck,
dude? No, and then he, like, I think there was something, I don't know how true it was. He was offering to sell his sperm, but he wouldn't do it for like black people. But Jewish women were okay because of, he's like, they will be guaranteed like safe passage through the desert. Like, you know, like saying, just implying that Jews have like a lot of money, so it'll be okay.
Jesus yeah. Christ.
Totally. No, that all makes sense.
No, I mean, that's legit. That's legit.
But then I'm like, so Ben Shapiro, you have this guy in your movie?
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah. Interesting. Also, like every kid has their favorite like stuffed animal. My 5-year-old's was Oso, was a little blue bear. My 3-year-old's is Brown Bunny.
Oh, yeah. So
I get to think about Vincent Gallo's non-simulated oral sex scene like 4 or 5 times a day.
Well, you know, don't change the name. Just make the your next stuffed animal a buffalo, and you can call it Buffalo 66.
I'm not in control of the naming of the stuffies, by the way. It's not
clearly.
Yeah. All right. Well, Matt, such a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can find me over at Instagram at Matt Leap Jokes. It's a great website. Yeah. Check out their app.
I forgot where I heard it. I heard you're a great follow on there, though.
I'm a great follow. Yeah, you probably heard that from a lot of really important, famous people.
Mm-hmm.
But also for me. So check that out. Also, I do a movie podcast with previous Daily Zeitgeist guest. That's hard to say.
Daily Zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. Daily Zeitgeist. Vince Mancini. We do a podcast called The Frogcast, where we talk about movies. And Pod Yourself a Gun, where we talk about The Sopranos. It's the world's only Sopranos podcast.
Right. There it is. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. Recently, I think it was just today, actually, this tweet came out. And I almost didn't choose it because I figured you guys might have chosen this one. But it's from a user at TildeWhirl. Why are all podcasts two best friends? I want a podcast that's two sworn enemies, just two bitches that absolutely hate each other. Which I was like, yeah, that would be a good podcast. I'd check that out. Yeah.
I would love to hear it. Just like coworkers fighting.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's kind of a podcast. I just kind of let my voice notes app run wild during our lunch breaks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should do it. I'm saying that what you guys should do is just start developing enmity for each other. Like,
yeah.
true hatred.
And we've been working on it for a while. We have a couple's therapist that's trying to make us despise each other a little bit
yeah,
more.
Yeah, dude. But, I like that. Yeah, the daily hate geist.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I liked somebody pointed out the subgenre, or I guess like the thing that actually exists of that is two best friends who hate their listeners.
Oh yeah.
which is one of my favorites.
that's me and Vince, but we do it out of love.
You were tagged in that.
We do call all of our listeners piggies and hogs, but it's not but we love pigs and hogs. Like, that's the thing is they're very intelligent, they're empathetic, and they're loving, and they love their slop. And let's all be real, we all love slop. We're all mm-hmm. piggies to mm-hmm. someone else's, you know, trough.
Thank
like,
you.
I'm a big piggy for, you know, Narcos Mexico. Great show.
Oh.
I would more content, please.
The new season's good. I watched one episode.
It's so good. It's so good.
All right. It's always harder for me to get the momentum going on a show that's subtitled because then I can't look at my phone.
I know.
I shouldn't be doing anyways.
Or Jack, just fucking learn Spanish, bro, and then you can look at your phone. También.
No, but even if you learn Spanish, they still speak real fast.
Yeah, I it helps me to, like, I did it like, let me go 5 minutes and no subtitles just to try and immerse myself. Doesn't work all the time.
Yeah.
You begin to pick up on things. I would say not a proven way to learn any kind of language.
No, yeah, it turns out it's not like that one Antonio Banderas movie, like The 12th Warrior or whatever. I forget what the
12th Night.
It's 12th night. No, it's like, I forget what it's called, but it's like he's sitting around and everyone's speaking another language.
Oh, and the words start turning into like English, right?
Yeah,
like,
and he learns the language by sitting there. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't happen. I've been in French class for 3 years.
Yeah.
They're talking right at me and pointing to the English words they're saying. I'm still not connected.
Still don't know what the hell that means.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other pod, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophie Alexandra. We talk 90 Day. Check that one out. Some tweets that I like. Ooh, let's see. This one is from at AZD8ZIEDEE. Tweeted, I want more Americans to spend time abroad so that they are more reasonably embarrassed about the state of their society. We are like the kid at school who doesn't realize they need deodorant yet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just anywhere. That. Just get out a little bit. That perspective will do something to you. And then Kate Doyle, at Doyle Schmoyle. What up, Kate? Tweeted, when Tim McGraw does Krav Maga, it's called Krav McGraw. And I just like that.
Wow, that is good. I love that.
I just see him like teaching a class. All right, y'all. Do some Krav Maga now.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Let's do this one. Dial H for Haggai tweeted, doctor says, treatment is simple. Johnny Knoxville is in town tonight with his new film Jackass. Go and see him. That should pick you up. Man bursts into tears, says, but doctor, I am Johnny Knoxville, and this is Jackass.
Oh, that's wonderful.
This is Jackass.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you should go check out. Miles, what song do we think people should go check out?
I mean, one of the greatest pieces of music of all time is the D'Angelo album Voodoo from 2000.
Absolutely.
And look, if you haven't heard the album, please do yourself a favor and listen to this album from the start to the end. It is fantastic. You have people like Questlove on drums, Pino Palladino on bass, and it's just a really, really great album. But this track is sort of like, this was sort of like the more poppy track that, if for me as a hip hop head, got me into the Voodoo album, and that's Devil's Pie. So it was also on the Bentley soundtrack. So we're going to ride out on Devil's Pie by D'Angelo.
Yeah, damn. Because, you know, classic.
Put that one on your brain.
Yeah, got to teach people. Got, if they don't know, they need to know.
There we go. All right. Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission,
parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.